So, music, the media, all of that. I'm not going to be talking about all the media today. We don't have time for all of that. It goes into vast things. Basically, what got me started on this, and I'm going to qualify all of this, is by saying I literally was driving along in my car one day, and I was listening to a song that I had listened to since I was a child. It was one of the first songs that I ever identified with outside of what my parents listened to. It was the 1970s. Pink Floyd was a pretty good band out there. In the secular world, in the world's music, I was going over the song in my head, and basically what I got was this: I was being ministered to. And it wasn't the ministry that you think it would be. It was the ministry of the world. It was the ministry of what the world wants to teach you. It's the ministry of fitting in. It's the ministry of adapting. It's the ministry of what's going on in your world, how to be cool, and what's going on. And I never felt so condemned in my entire life. As a matter of fact, it was when I was first getting into church. I was driving a big Cintas truck. I was on my uniform route, and I had to pull over. I had to stop everything I was doing and pull over on the side of the road, and I started praying because I knew right then and there that I was being ministered to, and it was by the wrong one. So I had to stop. I had to get it right. I had to pull over, and I had to do what I had to do to make sure that I was getting it right. This song had been in my head and since I was probably 5 or 6, maybe that young, 7 at least. I know it was at least 1977, 7 years old. And this song stuck in my head. I could sing it. I knew the words to it, but it never affected me. I never thought it affected me. But then I started looking at my life, and the song was this, okay? The song lyrics were, "So You Think You Can Tell." So you think you can tell. It's harmless enough, right? The second line in the song is heaven from hell. Thought, man, they're talking about heaven and hell. This is a rock song. What's up with this? Thought I had to be in church for that. So you think you could tell. Heaven from hell. Blue skies from pain. Can you tell a steel rail? And it goes on and on and on. And what it's doing is having you identify with these different things. At the very, very last of the song, it gives you what you've done. And it says, did they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts? Cold ashes for trees. Did they get you to exchange a walk-on part in a war for the lead role in the cage? I couldn't take it anymore. Because what I had done is I had missed my walk-on part in the war. What this songwriter had inadvertently done is he had awakened me to something that I received when I was a young child. And young people, I'm talking to you, and let me qualify this by saying that this may not be appropriate for those who have exceeded their childhood, or at least their teen years, but I hope everybody gets something out of this. I had traded my walk-on part in the war for a lead role in the cage. In other words, it was all about me. I traded a walk-on part in a spiritual war. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to show up, and Jesus was there. I just had to show up with faith, and my victory was there. I just had to show up. But no, it was all about me. Me, 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 me. Whole lot of me in my life. That's my life, right? Should be a lot of me in there. So I thought. So, this single thought branched out into what I'm going to teach you today. And the reason why I told you this story was not to bore you to tears. It was to bring you to the fact that it affects me. It affects everyone under the sound of my voice. If it didn't affect you, we wouldn't use media, we wouldn't use songs, we wouldn't use that as our worship. It's everything that we are. It's everything that we do. It's how we express ourselves. You can go to the deepest, darkest jungle. It doesn't matter where you go to. You're going to find some sort of singing. It's mentioned so many times in the Bible. I mean, look at the Psalms. Look at everywhere in there, okay? So, not only is it who we are, but sometimes you can tell somebody by maybe what they listen to. If you don't believe me, look at a punk rocker. Chances are, you're going to be able to spot that dude pretty quick. All right, look at the Deadheads. These people followed a band on tour forever. The band died before they did. Okay. But you could tell who they were, man. They were in the little minivans, the little microbuses. They still had on tie-dye like in the 80s when it wasn't cool. But these people expressed themselves by their music. It changed their whole world. They were being ministered to. Not only were they being ministered to, but they were being ministered to well. But let me tell you who was ministering to them. In our world, in this environment, you're ministered to by someone anointed by God, someone who has received a blessing, someone who is trying to share the road, the path to righteousness with you. It's someone who is trying to bring better into your life. The world is ministering to you by the tormented, the absolute people who are being tormented the worst, the people who have it the worst, who can't get a moment's peace. They have to talk about it. They have to share it with somebody. Misery loves company, and they're bringing it to you. Young people, it's in your school. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it. It's in your radio. It's so in your radio you wouldn't even believe it. These ministers are the ministers of worldview. These are the people that are coming at you, and they are absolutely trying to get you to do what they do. All right? This world is scripted by the ministers of the worldview. The media, these ministers have become our conscience. They've been the ones that tell us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Some examples of this, Usher. I took and went on the website of the Billboard magazine. They're the ones that rate who's cool and who's not. They are the absolute line in the sand. If you make this top 100 list, you're the coolest. I picked the top three. I didn't pick anybody that I identified with on purpose because I wanted to see what the world was being ministered to in my absence of listening to it. Usher. Usher, in his biography, was quoted as saying, "The lights, the glitz, and the glamour will blind your eyes until you cannot tell right from wrong." This is the one everybody wants to be like. This is Usher, man. This is a dude that's been on the charts for, I think, 15 years is what it looked like. He's had top 10 songs. There are kids going everywhere to see Usher. I'm sure some people in here could tell me more about Usher than I know, but I bet you didn't know that. I bet you didn't know he had to sell out. The top example, not only was he at the top of the chart, but he had a whole album at the top of the chart. He wasn't just kind of up there. This man is identified as the king of the South. Rap evidently is taking over in the South. It's mentioned as the third coast. Do you realize that we're in a coast? I did not know this. We're also called the Dirty South. I did not know this. People should bring this information to me. I shouldn't have to go get it. Don't know. So, I'm looking up this guy, T.I., and what does he say? That's what he says. That's exactly what he says. As a matter of fact, T.I. preaches that the almighty dollar and being in the limelight is what makes you worthwhile. If you aren't in the limelight, if you can't bust a Benjamin Franklin up out your pocket anytime you want to and pay for you and your entourage and all your little coolies hanging out behind you, then you're not worthwhile. You're not hip, you're not cool, you're not whatever it is nowadays. You're not it. That's what he says. Now, that's cool, right? I mean, if you could do that, that would be cool. Trust me, I would love to go eat at a steakhouse every night. I would pay for it, but it would be good. T.I. wrote a song. The song's called My Life, Your Entertainment. In his song, I'm going to read this to you. I can't rap, so I'm just going to read it. That was biased? Okay. All right. The price of fame, I think I paid. Want my change, I've done gave everything in my possession. For my seconds on the stage, for my name up in lights and multi-million record sales, I done give up my life. Can't get a moment to myself. When alone I ask myself, is it worth it? I ain't perfect, neither is anybody else. But I think my kids deserve to be with daddy out in public without all the interruptions. When the lies and gossip's published, I'm the topic of discussion. And I stay in trouble just to show I ain't lost it. And I do it all again. That's the funny thing about it. I ain't playing. This is somebody who's been tormented. This is someone who can't get a moment to himself. He can't enjoy his children. He sold it all. He sold everything to be in the limelight. His reward is when he steps up there. His reward is being in that light. And when he comes down, his reward is over. And he has to seek it out again and again and again. And he tells you right there in his own words, he penned them with his own hand, I'll do it again. I'm going to get up there every time I can. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be in the limelight. I'm going to sell my kids. I'm going to sell off everything I got. I'm going to be in the limelight. One of the ones with him was named The Game. By his grandmother, that's how he got his name. He was always game for anything. So they just started calling him The Game. Hey, you want to shoot hoops? Yeah, I'm game. You want to play football? Yeah, I'm game. I'm up for anything. Bored with life. So here we go. He preaches that gang life is where it's at. Violence equals respect. He's a confirmed member of the Cedar Block Piru Bloods. The Game has suffered in his travels the loss of an older brother. He has lost his mentor, who he traveled with after he lost his brother. He's lost a lot of friends due to gang violence, due to gang activity, due to what's going on in his life. He says, I'm telling my story. I'm not out of place. I'm just telling my story. He says he sold drugs because that's what he did. That's what he had to do to get by. He had to do everything that he did because that's what he grew up in. That's what he's telling. But if you look him up, he was at one time a star shooting guard for the Compton High School. He was given scholarship after scholarship after scholarship. He gave it away. He was 6'4" and had game. The man's name was changed to Game. He had so much game. He gave it all up for the life on the street. He gave it up for everything that he was doing. He gave it up to give himself that life. He started rapping. He started making the money. And he gave up everything. The life that they live, I'll show you. I'm going to do a show and tell. How's that? Anybody know who that is? That's T.I. Remember I was telling you about T.I.? Okay. Well, let me hook y'all up with T.I. here for a second. Yeah. Rapper T.I., his real name is Clifford Harris. If you go through the internet and get your way into the police files, he was arrested. This is his most recent one. Was arrested in Florida and charged with battery on a law enforcement officer, trespassing and disorderly conduct. Why did he do that? Because he was with his homeboys. They were having a good time at the mall, and somebody decided to click it off, and he was there for it. He would trade anything for the limelight. He would trade anything to be up front. Anything you're down for, he's down for, and then some. All right? Who's this? That's the game, yeah. All right. Y'all can't see this? This is the game. The game, man, this was snapped in March of 2008. This is pretty recent. He's doing a 60-day jail term for possession of a firearm in a school zone. He brought his gun to school, kids. Y'all know that's a no-no, right? The game didn't get the memo, apparently. He didn't get it. All right. Anyway, he was arrested subsequently, that means later on, because he punched another player in a pickup basketball game and pulled out his gun and threatened to shoot him. I guess he caught a foul. Not really sure. I'm guessing that's what he did, though. Must have been some foul. I always heard if you don't bleed, don't call it. So there he is. Who's this? Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, yeah. Hey, he was on Saturday Night Live, right? Yeah, he was on Saturday Night Live. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. No, you can't have my picture. All right. So, the rapper Lil Wayne, did y'all know his name is Dwayne Carter?
Yeah.
You had to look up Dwayne Carter to get to this stuff. They didn't have the game in jail. They had Dwayne Carter. And let me help y'all out with something. Check this out. You can be all of that. You can be the king of the South. You can be called the game. You can have so much game that your name is a game. You can be called Lil Wayne or you can be whatever, but I'm telling you, on the day of judgment, he's Dwayne Carter. God ain't going to step up and say, look out, Lil Wayne. Why don't you come up here, man? Let's talk about this. No, he's going to say, Dwayne Carter. Here's the real. Here's what it is. I wanted to read y'all some of the lyrics of his songs, but I had to repent after reading them. He was a little rough. No, can't do that. All right. Who's this? That's Kid Rock. Right? Kid Rock. He jumped up there and said, my name is Kid Rock. He wants everybody to know he's Kid Rock. He's not Kid Rock. His name is real jacked up. I don't know what I didn't even write it down. His name is like Cletus or something. But for real, he had a real Trailer Park sounding name. I don't know. But hey, he's so throwed off though. He's smiling in every one of his mugshot pictures. Yeah. Everybody else, here. Let me show y'all. Y'all see him smiling? He like, I went to jail. Everybody else mad. I'm in jail. He's been ministered to for a long time. He believes this is what's right. Yeah. He's like, woohoo, I went to jail. I'm just paying my penance. All right, well, I'll pass them around here in a minute. How's that? All right. So, aren't they pretty? Everybody clap. Y'all give it. All right. That's America's Most Wanted right there. If you don't ask me, look on the Billboard charts. Everybody want to be just like them. So tell me this, what's your mugshot picture going to look like? You going to be smiling? You going to be throwed off like Kid Rock? Or are you going to be upset about it? What has happened to these people is they have been ministered to. They have been told that this is part of what it is. If you're going to be in the limelight, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay? Fact of the matter is, if you're going to be up front, I went to this website called Celebrity Web Shots. Or celebrity mug shots. And guess what that was on there? Any celebrity you wanted. They have all, at some point, been arrested for something pretty foul. What happens is not only are they tormented, not only have they given up everything, but most of them have addictions. If you look at these charges, every one of them has an addiction. They have something that they cannot get rid of in their life. They picked up some baggage that they can't put down. They're carrying a little something with them that they can't get rid of. And it's costing them. It's costing every one of them. I firmly believe in this. This is Jimmy Martin just 101 here. But I firmly believe if you get past a certain point in your life, you have to sear your conscience so badly that you just can't get bad enough. When I went through these celebrity mugshots, I was looking at the charges, and I'm telling you, I guard people that are locked up for less. And these people are on billboards, top 100. And everybody wants to be like them. Everybody wants to do what they do. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example. And this example disturbed me. Let me read you about Katie. Man. Katie Hudson. Okay? Katie Hudson was born in October 25th, 1984 in Santa Barbara, California. Hudson grew up in a Christian household as the daughter of two pastors. Now that means her mother was a pastor as well as her father. Two pastors. I firmly believe that it was an apostolic home just like we raise our children in. She wasn't allowed to listen to secular music. She wasn't allowed to look at secular media. Her parents did everything they could to protect her, but it wasn't enough. Katie Hudson went to a slumber party. Slumber party. Bunch of girls getting together, doing whatever girls do at slumber parties. Yeah, whatever you do. Evidently, they listen to music. Freddie Mercury and Alanis Morissette were on the radio. And little Katie Hudson had never heard this before. These were people talking about things, about taboos, about things that you weren't supposed to sing and talk about in her home. And it was there on the radio, and it was all of hers to get, and she got all of it. I bet she was the least animated person. I bet she was the most boring person at the whole slumber party because she was probably glued to that radio, just soaking it up. Freddie Mercury died of AIDS, by the way. Alanis Morissette, we hadn't wrote hers yet. She's breaking taboos, though. She's getting on out there. Katie Hudson sang religious music till she was 17 years old. She quit singing Christian music. And in 2001, she decided she didn't like Katie Hudson anymore. So Katie Hudson went to the ministers. And little Katie Hudson joined. She put everything she had on the altar of the tormented. She gave it all up. And she joined up. She signed on. She's number two on the charts. Her name's Katy Perry. Katy Perry's got a few songs out now, and they're doing really, really well. I looked at all of them and went through the lyrics, and I kept seeing this one thing. And this one thing is, if Katy Perry grew up in a church sitting on a pew just like you are right now, just like all of you are, she sat on a pew and she sat under the words, under the voice of a man trying to say, don't, Katie, don't, Katie, don't. Whatever you got to do, just don't, Katie. It's not for you. It's not for you. Katy Perry's, one of her most recent songs reads like this. The name of the song is Lost. Lost. Says, I'm out on my own again, face down in the porcelain, feeling so high but looking so low, party favors on the floor, group of girls are banging on the door, so many new fair-weathered friends, oh, Have you ever been so lost? Known the way, still so lost. Caught in the eye of a hurricane, slowly waving goodbye like a pageant parade, so sick of all this town pulling me down. My mother says I should come back home, but I can't find the way, because the way is gone. So if I pray, am I just sending words into outer space? Have you ever been so lost, known the way, and still so lost? Another night waiting for someone to take me home. Have you ever been so lost? Is there a light? Is there a light at the end of the road? I'm pushing everyone away because I can't feel this anymore. Can't feel this anymore. Have you ever been so lost? Katie Hudson sang a bunch of other songs. Katie Hudson had a number one Christian song, and it dealt with faith. Every one of her songs were uplifting. They were a gift of promise. She sang the words that came out of her mouth. But she took it, and she laid it on an altar, and she became tormented just like everybody else. And now, she's tormented. She can't find the way home. It's gone. She didn't hear the words. She didn't hear anybody say, "Don't, Katie, don't." Katie, don't do that. Katie, don't listen to that. Katie, don't do what they do. Don't do it. The Lord commands us to go out. Be ye separate. Don't touch unclean things. These are phrases from the right side. These are phrases from the ministry you need to listen to. Not the tormented. Not the tormented. Don't be like Katie. Don't get out there. Don't sell it all. I want everybody to close their eyes. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I don't want anybody to say it. I don't want anybody to do anything about it. This is just for you. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine the one thing you love the most. The one thing. If it's your mother, if it's being with your friends, if it's your bicycle, whatever it is. Imagine that one thing. Now imagine that on the altar so you can be tormented. Imagine that you are going to give that up so that somebody can think you're cool. So that somebody can listen to your words and be tormented. It's perpetual. The devil wants you to be tormented. He wants you to tell other people that you're tormented. He wants you to be in the limelight just enough to tell your story. And then he's going to yank it away. He's going to pull it away from you. And he's going to torment you. And he's going to beat you some more until you can't take it anymore. And then you're going to cry and you're going to break down. You're going to write about it. You're going to sing about it. You're going to tell other people about it. And guess what just happened? You just ministered. There's only one way to get out of the ministry. And that's to get on the other side. One way or the other, you're going to take something. You're going to lay it on an altar. You're going to bring you and something, and you're going to put it right there. And you're going to do it to be tormented, or you're going to do it to have peace. Let me tell you something. I was at a point in my life where I wanted to end it. I cranked the throttle on my motorcycle and I was gone. I didn't care if there was a turn in the road. It was just going to have to straighten out for me. And if it didn't, I'd just pay that price. Because see, I was done. See, I was fixing to lose everything that I had owned. I was ready to take everything and put it on the altar. My kids, my wife, my job. I was going to take everything and I was going to put it on the altar of the tormented, and I was going to keep my little drug habit, and I was going to keep drinking my alcohol, and I was going to look at other women. I was going to do everything I could because it was me, 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 me. It's my life. So now's the time. Here's where you decide. Right now I'm going to open these altars. I've never in my existence ever imagined what's been laid on these altars before. But I can tell you right now, I see crazy things, man. I see things. Things that I saw. And they need to come down here and hit these altars. I'm opening these altars. Anybody wants to come down? I know it's awkward. It's hard to step out. It's hard to be the first one. I can't tell you how many times I would have prayed through. Somebody else would have just gone. Never wanted to start in anything, not in a church. I'd be the first one to start it in the world. Crack a beer, I was there. Crack a joke, I'd try to dirty it up for you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's going to see you come down. Nobody's going to see you. Church, I think it'd be a good idea if we had some saints come down and pray. Now you got some cover. You got some camouflage. Nobody's going to see it. They won't even know that you're down here. Come down. Come down and lay it on the altar. Come and lay it down. No one can touch you.